Please be seated. Every year, the season of Lent starts out with the story of how Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. Now, only Matthew and Luke give the long version of the temptation that you just heard. And I guess that makes sense in a way. Isn't temptation what this whole season of Lent is all about? Thus, the reason we figure out what bad habits tempt us the most and temporarily give them up for Lent. Of course, I'm being facetious. That's not at all what this season is about. I'm afraid that we treat temptation as something we're tempted toward, usually something we shouldn't do, when in reality, I think temptation is more about being tempted away from something, namely our relationship with God and the identity that we receive in and through that relationship. Now, I'll tell you, I was tempted to write a sermon for this morning, but I decided not to, at least not in my usual sense. Instead, I want to share with you my thoughts about this unique Lenten season for us by sharing the story that I told folks gathered for our Ash Wednesday service. It's a story that I've told more than once. I've told it more than once this week. But I tell it again without apology, because this year especially, I think we need to hear it. At least I do. This is the story. The Reverend Dan Matthews was the rector of Trinity Episcopal Church Wall Street in New York City. And a sermon of his was based on the gospel text for Ash Wednesday, which comes up twice in the lectionary cycle on Ash Wednesday and in the fall, usually around stewardship time. And it makes sense for stewardship because part of the gospel reading is, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." But I don't think I fully appreciated how appropriate it is for Ash Wednesday until I read Father Matthew's sermon. For Dan Matthews, this text came up in the fall, shortly after September 11th, 2001. Matthews did not watch the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center on TV. Trinity is only 5 blocks from the site, and Trinity's chapel, St. Paul's, is directly across the street from the World Trade Centers. It is one of the oldest buildings in Manhattan. It's where George Washington worshiped. They still have a pew for him. And it miraculously survived the tragedy of September 11th. And this is what Father Matthews had to say that day. Dust everywhere. Everywhere, everywhere, dust. It was unbelievable. All of South Manhattan was covered in dust. It wasn't long before we began saying, what should we dust first? What's the priority? We decided the first thing would be the pews, so that people could come in and rest and pray and reflect and maybe even receive some counseling. What next? Well, what about the prayer books? People need to be able to pick up the prayer books and find the prayer that speaks to them. So dust the prayer books. What's next? Let's do the votive candles, of course. People are going to want to light a candle for someone who is missing or who has died. Dust the votive candles. And we are still dusting, he said. So maybe now you see why I wanted to share that story again, both on Ash Wednesday and this morning. On October 10th, 2018, our lives were changed forever. And we are still both literally and figuratively dusting, which I know, at least for me, means that Lent this year takes on significant meaning. In normal times, Lent can be a really conflicting time in the life of the church. We are people of good news, but the lectionary readings during Lent seem anything but. We observe traditions of self-reflection and self-examination, all while good weather, Easter bunnies, and marshmallow eggs line the store shelves. But for every one of us, this year is going to be different. What are you going to give up for Lent? Folks will ask. Really? I've already given up living in my own home for almost 5 months. I've given up believing that anyone outside our little world even has the slightest idea what has happened here and that they won't be coming to the rescue. I'm not giving up a thing this year for Lent. It's already been done. So if giving up something has been your practice during Lent and you're more than over that, what else can you do to observe a holy Lent? Maybe for all of us who have already given up a lot, I wonder if this Lenten season might be time for a little dusting, to decide what in our own lives needs dusting, to ask ourselves, what do we dust off first? What is most important to us? What do we really need? What's first? What's next? What's true? What's false? What's real? What's junk? What's to be preserved and what isn't? That's pretty hard. It's pretty hard, but it could also make for one of the most meaningful and significant seasons of Lent that we have ever had. But that's just the beginning of what I envision for this Lent. In his sermon, Dan Matthews tells us something that happened the week of 9/11. In the midst of the terrible tragedy, he says, President Bush called for prayers and the ringing of bells at noon on Friday, September 14th. I called the engineers, he continued, who run our buildings and asked them to ring the bells of St. Paul's. One of them, Mike Barrero, said, Dr. Matthews, I'm sorry, but we can't do that. You can't imagine what it's like down here. But about an hour later, Mike was on the phone again and said, guess what? We got into the church. I crawled up the wooden bell tower and I saw an iron bar. I picked it up and I crawled up to that bell and I beat the hell out of it 12 times while Jim held the flashlight so I could see. When I got back down, they told me that the police officers, all the firemen, all the volunteers at Ground Zero heard that bell. And when they did, they paused and they took their hats off. And I think as much as anything, that part is why I felt the need to share this story again. I think there's great value in observing this Lenten season as a time for dusting. However, most of us are already doing that out of necessity. But I also think that many of us also desperately need a Mike Barrero kind of Lent. A defiant Lent. The kind of Lent when told it's impossible empowers a man to climb a bell tower to ring the hell out of a bell just to be heard. The kind of Lent that in our self-reflection and self-examination acknowledges our strength and our capability even when we're bone-tired. The kind of Lent that's where when Mike Barrero was told it couldn't happen, he made it happen anyway. The kind of Lent that when told it can't be done, responds with, hold my beer. The kind of Lent that when told no, questions why. The kind of Lent that refuses to stand for what is unjust. The kind of Lent where we don't keep quiet, but ring our own community's bell so that the world will pause and listen. The kind of Lent that acknowledges moving forward is up to us. And with God's help, we will. And we can. And what could be more defiant than that? Such a Lent will not be quiet or introspective. But haven't we already had enough of that? And if defiance seems a little crazy for you this Lent, don't forget that the day that this season points us toward was the greatest act of defiance ever. God love you. And may you all have a dusty and defiant Lent. Amen.